is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody for being tuned in, for being locked in all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you are amazing. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. We got so much to get into. Damn it, we got so much that we've already discussed. Rashee Rice suspension, Joe Mixon's injury, Adam Thielen back to Minnesota, Kyle Hamilton's extension. We have more to get into. Tom Brady getting extra access to coaches and executives and players. For his Fox job, doesn't he also own the Raiders? Isn't this not a conflict of interest? Possibly. Cam Newton getting an extension of his job. And Cam Newton's going to be on ESPN a whole hell of a lot more. Gilbert Arenas has found a way to hook up with Skip Bayless. What? Bill Belichick is embracing being a gold digger. The New England Patriots, they pick up a former New York Giant, Tommy DeVito. And we got so much to get into. How about this? In about 20 minutes, we'll have a conversation with Carrington Harrison from The Drive in Kansas City. He's on the radio killing it out there. We'll have a great chat with Carrington about Rashee Rice, about Travis Kelce, about the left side of the offensive line. There's a lot to get into when it comes down to the Chiefs. Because they can't be this good again, right? Right. Maybe. Possibly. Anyway, in another hour from now, of course, it'll be time for a new top six list. We do it every single Wednesday. And today I'm going to share with you my top six favorite athletes in sports media today. Everybody got a podcast. Everybody got a show. Everybody's on TV. Everybody is doing something. I'm going to tell you the top six in my opinion right now. Well, in an hour from now, I'll do that. A new top six list an hour from now. Anyway, thank you for listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. You can call me too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We got people going. We got people coming. We got people switching jobs on the football field, people being suspended. And then even in the broadcast booth, even in studios, we got some names and faces, very familiar names and faces, who are getting a little bit more exposure in two different ways. First of all, Tom Brady. I don't even need to give this guy's resume. You know Tom Brady. Been in the Fox booth now two seasons. Botch, it's been two seasons already? What?
Really? Is this upcoming second season?
Is this number three or what season is this?
I think it's season two.
Right. Because he took that gap year. Yeah.
Yeah, he had to learn how to become a broadcaster.
Yeah, he needed to learn. 10-year contract, $375 million. This man agreed to do this in 2022 after retirement. He said, I'm going to sit down for a year to not do nothing. And then came through, making his Fox debut last year. Now, to be honest, and I've said this plenty of times, I don't really listen to the broadcasters during these games. I'm either sitting around with my friends, if I need to hear something or learn something, I could pull it up online. I don't hear anything. I don't. I could not honestly tell you whether or not Tom Brady is good or bad. I can only tell you by some of the clips that pop up here and there on social media. But as a part of Tom Brady being a broadcaster on Fox, of which he took Greg Olson's job because he's Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he's had to learn. But also Tom Brady, as we know, he's now a minority owner in the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, for anyone who's not familiar, these broadcasters just don't pop up on Sunday and just deliver this information over the course of a three and a half hour broadcast. They don't. These broadcasters and the producers, so they can actually give you captivating television, so they actually know what the hell they're talking about, they have production meetings with the teams. They'll talk to the coaches. They'll talk to the players. It's not just by happenstance or because these guys are all buddy buddies. When you hear a broadcaster go, well, we spoke with XYZ in the course of the week and he said this. No, they did it for their job. They did it so they could gain insight. They did it so, you know, they can't sit down and watch every single NFL game. They want to have as much information possible firsthand from the source. Now, a little bit of a conflict of interest, if you're Tom Brady and you partially own the Raiders and you're sitting down with the Kansas City Chiefs in their facility, no, not nice, not good. What, is Tom Brady going to go out there and start spilling state secrets? Okay, if Tom Brady sits down with the Los Angeles Chargers, he's just going to walk into their facility? Hey, Justin Herbert told me this. Now I get to tell the Raiders that. And so last year, Tom Brady did everything except for show up and be a part of the production meetings. Well, now, apparently, he can't. Tom Brady can talk to other teams remotely. He will still not be allowed to attend practices at team facilities. So he can sit down and hop on a Zoom. Whoop-de-freaking-do. I wonder if this is going to make a difference for Tom Brady, because it is still a conflict of interest. You want to be able to be a great broadcaster, but we know we don't need a story where Tom Brady becomes a rat. He starts becoming some, undercover spy. We don't need that. Matter of fact, Tom Brady talked about his job with Joe Klatt just a couple weeks ago. He talked about his development as a broadcaster and, you know, things are different than when he played. Listen to this.
For me, as a professional quarterback who played 23 years, and at the end of, let's say, my last three seasons in Tampa, I was throwing 700 passes a season. And I would throw 20 of those passes exactly the way I wanted. 20 of 700. And I worked all year round. So then it's like you go into broadcasting, and it's like, why would you think you're going to hit 350 of the 700.
That's right.
You know, in the end, you're probably only going to hit a limited amount. Yeah. And I think that's what you're searching for. Those parts of the season or those parts of the game where you're like, I really got that.
That's right.
And okay, like I know there's a lot of other parts that you don't want to have, you know, these terrible moments where you completely miss it. And I think maybe I was really conscious of that early. Mm. And then I got to be a little more freed up as the season went on.
Man, why are you so damn hyped? I mean, the way that this man talks, you would think that he still wants to. Well, I'm sure he still wants to go out there and play football. His wife left him because he played too much football. That's my theory. I'm not sure. But anyway, Tom Brady's getting more access. Is it going to make a difference on the broadcast? Probably not. Like, it's Tom Brady doesn't strike me as the type of guy to say anything that's going to move mountains. I don't think he says anything insightful. I don't know. I told you I don't listen. But when I do hear him, unless he's trying to motivate you or talking about how competitive he is or screaming, let's go. What is he doing? Bacha, do you listen? Have you listened? Is he any good?
I may or may not have watched one or two games, but in those games I watched, he doesn't stand out. There's nothing that he says that's really interesting to me. It's just... Okay. Basic quarterback talk.
Okay. Yeah, that's the look. They are paying him $375 million because his name is Tom Brady. And they're certainly hoping that one day Tom Brady can grow into someone that people go, you know what? I love the broadcast because of Tom Brady. Here's the one thing when it comes to broadcasting. You just don't want people to absolutely hate the guy. It's really that simple. I have never, ever heard a sports fan go, I'm tuning into this game because I want to hear blank. You know, I enjoyed when he broadcast, God rest his soul. I enjoyed listening to John Madden because he would come out. He was entertaining. You know, I enjoy Kevin Harlan because he's entertaining. He ain't drawing on a telestrator and making funny jokes like John Madden was, but they were entertaining. You know, someone I don't like on a broadcast, Reggie Miller, he's a pain in the ass listening to this guy. Reggie Miller's just like, oh, well, another Captain Obvious. Well, he has to shoot more threes if they need him to win. Anthony Edwards needs to score more if the Wolves need a chance. It's like, listen, Reggie, we know, okay? We know. Go back to California. I don't know. Go do something. Anyway, I don't think Tom Brady getting a little bit more access is going to make more of a difference. I think being comfortable in his personality will do so. We'll see. Speaking of personality, this man's podcast and his personality has netted him additional exposure on ESPN. I am referring to Cam Newton. Cam Newton has now signed a multi-year deal with ESPN. We're going to see more Cam Newton on First Take. We're going to see Fourth and One, his podcast. We're going to see him expanding his role on the show. We're going to see Cam Newton. He's going to be out here. I don't want to say maybe possibly replacing Shannon Sharp, but that just might be the role that he fills. And if you've listened to his podcast, oh, he has a lot of opinions. Cam Newton is not afraid to, you know, speak his mind. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, he was telling everybody about how Jalen Hurts is not one of his top QBs. He's more afraid of the Eagles. Ryan Clark took issue. A lot of people took issue with Cam Newton. And Cam Newton shot back at everybody because of his opinions on Jalen Hurts. Listen to this.
Cam Newton.
Anything that Cam says is going to go viral. Box office. Who hotter than me?
Well, Cam's wrong.
Cam Newton went to 3 Pro Bowls. Jalen Hurts already been to 2. Cam Newton was an MVP, and he got to the Super Bowl, and he forgot to bring his cape.
Mr. Ryan Clark, you're attacking the messenger and not attacking the message.
Terrell Owens, we all know that you don't have the best relationships with your quarterbacks. Me being a quarterback, I'm just going to leave it at that. Gilly, you posted me on your social story. And Peggy, I got a question to ask. Can you name me one Gilly the Kid album?
Damn.
Did you know his album was Gilladelphia?
Damn.
Jalen Hurts is the quarterback you got to go through in the NFC to win the Super Bowl.
You do not need to go through Jalen Hurts.
Who do you need to go through?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Damn.
So since that, we want to attack the messenger, Ryan Clark. Hey, let's pull up your stats. Second team, all SEC. We cannot relate. Undrafted in 2002. We cannot relate. Won Pro Bowl in 2011. We cannot relate.
People keep attacking Cam, the person, or why he didn't jump on the fumble, comparing and contrasting. So when I compare and contrast, you guys' statistics and Dan Orlovsky.
Never mind. But the message here is, Jalen Hurts, this has nothing to do with me hating. Eagles fan, this has nothing to do with me being bitter. This is just my thought process in evaluating quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, you just heard about 1 minute as to why Cam Newton got a job on ESPN. Because he's going to be loud and he's going to be out there arguing and being opinionated and being angry, and he's not afraid to jump back at somebody. Yeah, Cam Newton, he's going to be replacing, as far as I'm concerned, he's going to be replacing the space of Shannon Sharp. Yeah, what happens to one guy can create an opportunity for somebody else. Haven't heard much from Shannon recently. I know he still does his show. Not garnering the attention that it used to. Yeah, that ESPN fire hose did him some good. Did him some wonders. Let's see if he can do the same thing for Cam Newton. And then also, if you are interested, Skip Bayless is actually connecting with Gilbert Arenas. Oh, what a world this is. Oh, my God. Skip Bayless is going to be a part of a new show, a new football show called The Arena Gridiron. It'll have Skip Bayless, Aqib Talib, former NFL coach Jay Gruden. Gilbert Arenas is going to pop up on this show here or there. I'm sure you may or may not have seen Gilbert Arenas' show. I have not. I just see the clips when he says ridiculous things. That's why I have no interest in seeing. But apparently, look, here's Skip Bayless. He's found a job somewhere, right? You can apparently stream this on the Underdog Network. Gilbert Arenas and Skip Bayless. What a combination this is. We haven't seen Skip Bayless on on TV in about a year. And now he's going to be in the streaming space. Okay. Let's see if this works out for Gilbert Arenas, because let's keep in mind, he was charged with one count of conspiracy to run an illegal gambling business in his house. Gilbert Arenas says he is in the clear. And Skip Bayless also said he has no concerns about his legal issues. Okay. He says all he did wrong is run out of space. All right, fine. Let's see how long people pay attention to Skip. He needs someplace to yell, so here we are. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. No yelling by me. I'm just going to take it easy and relax. When we come back on the other side of the break, I might raise my voice a few octaves. I'm going to be joined by Carrington Harrison. Covers all things Kansas City for The Drive. We're going to talk all things Chiefs. Rashee Rice, who steps up at wide receiver, what that offensive line looks like, Travis Kelce and his future. Are we going to see the Chiefs be competitors again for a title? We'll have that chat with Carrington Harrison on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Every day is something new with the Chiefs, right? A guy gets married, a guy gets suspended, a guy comes back, got to figure out the line. It's just something new every day. We're getting closer and closer to the start of the season. The Chiefs get started next week, next Friday, down in Brazil against the Chargers. Well, now it's time to talk about all these stories going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. Joining us right now is someone who covers all things Chiefs, all things Kansas City sports. You can catch him in Kansas City weekdays all the time on The Fan. It's The Drive. It's my main man. He's back. Carrington Harrison. Carrington, how are you?
JR, how you doing, man? I can't let you say that it's always something going on with Kansas City. They've actually been relatively quiet this offseason. They definitely have had some off seasons that were storyline filled. You know, their wide receiver was playing speed racer on a Dallas highway. Uh-oh. Their kicker was going viral. They definitely have had loud off seasons. This was actually a quiet, normal off season for the Chiefs.
Well, how could I forget the off season started losing in the Super Bowl? So it's been pretty busy.
Okay, I don't know why you got to bring that up. You know what? I have never, ever seen the only time. Actually, I won't say that. The only other time I've seen a turn of emotion like that was this year for the Mike Tyson fight. So my mom, you know, she's around Mike Tyson's age. She had a Mike Tyson T-shirt. She was so excited to watch Mike beat up Jake Paul. And to see her excitement go from the first round to the end of it, like, it finally hit her. Like, man, Mike Tyson, I'm not going to see the Mike Tyson of old. I'm just watching old Mike Tyson. You know, I'm in Kansas City. Like, you know, we all are planning for the three-peat. We're all getting ready to see people's excitement for the national anthem, and then to see people leave mid-third quarter and just give up on it. I have never seen a turn of energy like that.
Well, let me ask you this, Carrington. Knowing that they've attempted to fix the offensive line, are you comfortable with what they have so far?
It's really difficult to answer that question because of the uncertainty on the left side. The Chiefs are going to be starting a rookie left tackle in Josh Simmons. You know, whenever they drafted him, I was talking about him potentially being a redshirt option because he didn't finish out the college football season because he broke his patella. So I was thinking that Jalen Moore, who was the backup last year for San Francisco, I was thinking he was going to be the left tackle and they were going to redshirt him. That ended up not being the case. Once they went to training camp, he was the starter. They're now going to start Kingsley Suamataia. He's their left guard. He was their starting left tackle last year. He got sat down in game two, and he was a backup the rest of the year. So I would love to be able to answer your question, but for a team that doesn't have a lot of question marks, like, this is a team that's going to be very familiar. If you watched the Chiefs the last couple of years, you know the names. They have not had a lot of turnover. They just have such a huge question mark and era of uncertainty over on that left side. We're going to have to see. I think the beautiful thing about it is, you know, they play the Chargers in week one. They play Philadelphia in week two. They play a Giants team that maybe isn't going to be the best, but certainly has great pass rushers and a great defensive line. They play Baltimore early in the season. They go up against the Lions with Aiden Hutchinson. So, like, you're going to see this offensive line get tested very early on in the season.
Carrington Harrison is joining us, hosts The Drive in Kansas City. You say uncertainty. We've heard all these stories outside of the guy now being engaged about how Travis Kelce has spent more time thinking about football, compartmentalizing what happens with his celebrity life, with his football career. He slimmed down. Based on everything that's going on, can we expect a better season than we got last year? We know he's older. We also know he's in the final year of his contract. What are you expecting from Kelce?
Yeah, I think that athletes just really struggle to say that I'm aging and slowing down. Like, I refuse to think that going to the Eras Tour had an effect on Travis Kelce in week 9 or recording Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I just don't think that matters. We're talking about a 35-year-old skill position player in a young man's game. Think about all the great skill position players in the league, whoever you think they are, Brock Bowers, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, all of those guys. We're talking about guys that are between 25 and 27. Travis Kelce is 35. He'll be 36 during the NFL season. I think the issue with Travis Kelce is he can't create separation the way that he used to. He's not more athletic than everybody else the way that he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So I don't really put a lot of stock into the offseason stuff for him. I just think more than anything, just Father Time catches everybody, and he's no different.
And he got a little. He had a little bit of a tire there last year. It's gone a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he had a little bit. I mean, you know, in the playoffs, you know, he played really well in the game against Houston. He had 100 yards. And then against Buffalo, a team that we thought could win the Super Bowl, and a team in Philadelphia, like, he just didn't really do a whole lot. Like, I think sort of there's a blueprint now to slow down Travis Kelce. You got to get physical with him at the line of scrimmage. You can't let him just operate in space, in zones. But I think the hope, at least for Kansas City, is, you know, their offense was really banged up last year. They basically didn't have Isaiah Pacheco for the last 3 months of the season. He broke his leg and was never the same player. They really didn't have Hollywood Brown for most of the season last year. Rashee Rice missed 13 games last year with a knee injury. So I think the hope is, well, if you can get those other pieces back and you're asking Kelce to be more of a complementary player, more of a role player, kind of what Gronk was that final year in Tampa Bay, that's a role that I think he can flourish in.
Carrington Harrison is here with us, hosts The Drive in Kansas City. One guy, I'm very eager to see what he can do. We heard that story earlier in training camp about how he hit his head and then they said he was fine. Xavier Worthy, is he going to take another step up?
That's a great question. I think a lot of it just kind of depends on where Hollywood Brown is and what it was. Like, I think a big thing for Xavier Worthy last year is, you know, he almost got 100 targets. He had 98 targets last year. Well, you didn't really have to share targets with Rashee Rice. You didn't really have to share targets with Hollywood Brown. I think we know Mahomes, he's going to kind of disperse the ball a little bit. Everybody's going to get a chance to eat. So I think more than anything, what you could see with Worthy is, I think you could see his targets dip a little bit, but they really missed on big plays last year. Like, if you really look at some of the advanced numbers, Patrick Mahomes was not great down the field last year. I thought he missed a couple of throws where they had a chance for some of those big-time kind of haymaker plays that the Chiefs offense was kind of known for in 18 and 19, and they missed on those last year. That's been a big point of emphasis this year with Kansas City, is just having more punch, having more explosiveness. This is an offense that most people think have the best offensive-minded head coach and have the best quarterback, and last year they were 15th in points scored. You got too much talent to be middle of the road when it comes to offense. So a lot of the conversation has been about, hey, how do we get that top 10 offense back in Kansas City?
Well, Carrington, switching over to the defensive side of the ball, that's where they seem to be a little bit more stable last year. What should be some of the expectations this season? I know they've made some changes at the cornerback position. What do you expect from this defense?
I mean, I expect more of the same. You know, it was a lot of continuity. I mean, basically, other than Justin Reed, they kind of returned just about everybody. I looked this up. So the Chiefs had 16 players that got a sack last year. 14 of those players are back on the team this year. They had 19 players get a tackle in the AFC Championship game against Buffalo. 16 of those players are back on this year's team. So just, they're so familiar. You know, when you watch the Chiefs next Friday, like, you're not going to be, who's that? Who's that? Like, no, you've seen all these guys play. You know, they played in Super Bowls. They've played in big time games. The Chiefs just didn't really have a lot of turnover this offseason.
Having said that, everything that we discussed, knowing that Rice is going to be out for the first 6 games, what does Kelce look like as he ages? The defense should still be at a baseline. If 15 games is a lot, they went all the way to the Super Bowl with a faulty offensive line. Where's the floor and where's the ceiling for these Chiefs this upcoming season? Not again in another Super Bowl, right?
I mean, I think it's certainly possible. I mean, I think you look at the AFC. I mean, right now, can you make an argument for any team that's not Kansas City, Baltimore, or Buffalo? It feels like, once again, that those three teams have separated themselves. So, you know, it comes down to a coin flip. Last year, Mark Andrews drops a pass. There's a controversial call on fourth down with Josh Allen. Josh Allen had the ball with 3 minutes to go at the 30-yard line. The Bills only get 15 yards and then turnover on down. So, like, these games between those three teams are so close. So it really comes down to kind of who executes. I mean, the floor is the same, I think, with Kansas City. Their floor is 11 games. Their ceiling is 15 games. We're talking about a team that I haven't got so caught up in that last year, how great they are in one-score games, just because I think that's the DNA of the Chiefs. Sure, last year it was wild, whether it was the Baltimore game and in by a toe or blocking an extra point or doing these things. Yes, the Chiefs just kind of had some improbable wins, but, you know, like, knowing how to win, expecting to win. One of my favorite stories from last season was, I think it was the Broncos game where, you know, DeAndre Hopkins just joins the team. It looks like the Chiefs are about to lose. He goes over to Mecole Hardman. He says, man, you know, they got us this week. And Mecole says, I know we're going to win. We've won way crazier games than this. The Chiefs block the kick. And then Mecole tells D-Hop, I told you. Like, we always win these kind of games. Like, there is just an expectation in Kansas City where if this is a one-possession game with 5 minutes to go, the Chiefs will just figure out a way to win. I think a lot of teams hope they can win. I think the Chiefs expect to win in that scenario, and that is a significant advantage.
Well, Carrington, I'm not shocked or surprised, but maybe a little bit. Everybody who all of a sudden, I think last year, started to feel, and maybe this is some of that nonsense about the referees and whatnot, it just felt that a lot of people in the country got sick and tired of watching the Kansas City Chiefs win. And I used to say to myself, this is not the Patriots. Like, Tom Brady doesn't come across as likable. Bill Belichick certainly doesn't come across as likable. Like, the Chiefs actually seem pretty cool. They're like the Warriors and Steph Curry with no Draymond. Are the fans in Kansas City spoiled with what they've achieved yet? Is this just kind of like, it's our birthright?
No, I don't think that anybody is spoiled. I just would like to point out that this is what happens in sports when you win. Like, we got tired of seeing Alabama and Clemson. What was that, 8 years ago? Then we got tired of seeing Georgia win every year. And then we get, like, we do this every time. Like, it is a very predictable. We want a new team to win. Then that team wins too much. And now we're ready for a new team to win. The only reason we feel this way is because the Chiefs are good. No one thinks that games are rigged for the Saints because the Saints are terrible. No one hates watching Tennessee because Tennessee isn't on television because they're not good enough. The Chiefs have now reached this point with Duke basketball, Alabama football.
Oh,
like, whenever you reach that point where you annoy everybody, that's good. That means you win a lot of important games.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I just don't find anybody to be there's no jerks on the Chiefs. That's, I'm like, why do you hate these people? There's no jerks.
Yeah, JR, I don't really get it either. You know, when I realized that it was out of hand, whenever the Knicks, last year when the Knicks were in the postseason, they showed Timothy Chalamet after every single made basket. I didn't hear anybody complain. We see Spike all the time. Now, they show Taylor Swift up in the box. Oh, my God, turn the channel. Wait, she was on TV for 32 seconds the whole playoffs. Why are we worried about this? That's when I realized that there was a conspiracy against Kansas City, and it ain't right, Gerald. Let me tell you, it ain't right.
maybe she is the what put people over the edge. Having said that, last question for you, Carrington. Is this going to be Kelsey's last year? What do you think? Not what you know or what you don't know. What do you think?
I think that yesterday's engagement post was a we're about to retire post. This is how I see things hurting.
Agreed.
I see her coming to every Chiefs game this year. I'm going to fully support you. I'm going to drop this album. I'm going to wait to do the tour until the spring. You're going to play football. You're going to retire. We're going to go on tour together. I'm going to fully support you. You're going to fully support me. Like, you want me to think that Travis Kelce this offseason is going to be planning the biggest wedding since when? Like, tell me the last time that we have had a celebrity wedding. That is, we're talking like Jay-Z and Beyonce. So we're talking about 10, 12
Princess
years.
Princess Diana and Charles, man. That's a long time.
So like you're telling me we're planning that big of a wedding And then we think that after they come back from a honeymoon, he's going to St. Joseph's, Missouri for training camp. Stop it. Come on now. I can't believe that he is doing that. Yeah, you know what I think? I think that Travis Kelce is going to do basically what Jason did. You remember, Jason never announced that he was going to retire, but it was kind of clear that it was his last year. And then when Jason is walking off the field against Tampa Bay, it was obvious that he is going to retire in the next couple of days. I think we'll see something very similar from Kelce, where sometime in January or February, Travis Kelce will announce that this was his final season in the league.
All right. We're going to see. We're going to see. I'm with you. I mean, I think you can't say you're going to marry this woman and then he's going to end up like Tom Brady. His wife left him. Okay. Don't want that. Hey, Carrington, thank you for the time. Always a pleasure. Tell everybody where they can listen to you, whether they're in Kansas City or anywhere else.
Well, JR, you can catch me every early Saturday morning right there on the Infinity Sports Network, the Harrison Experience, from 6 to 10 Eastern. So check me out. I'm excited for this weekend. We got a lot of great college football to talk to. So really excited to get ready for week one of the college football season.
Yeah, I'm ready for all of the football. Carrington, I appreciate the time. We'll catch you soon, okay?
Absolutely, man. Take care, man. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Shout-outs to Carrington Harrison for joining us here on the Infinity Sports Network. And catch him in Kansas City, catch him here on the Infinity Sports Network, and catch him all over the damn place. Always a pleasure having a chat with Carrington. Yeah, Kansas City, you just expect them to win, right? I think this start of the season is going to be a rocky one. I really do. Unless Xavier Worthy steps up, and I'm not going to say he's going to fill the shoes of a Tyreek Hill. He's going to have to be a game breaker. He's going to have to break one off once a game to kind of just take the top off. And they're going to be good. I just don't think they're going to beat the living hell out of people. I know a couple of seasons ago, people were worried about Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he's trying to do too much and this and that. I'm like, he's not washed up. What's wrong with people? The Chiefs will be fine. I just don't know if they're going to have a great start. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back from break. You know what? Let's talk about someone who's pretty miserable all the time. He did have a dynasty. That's Bill Belichick with the New England Patriots. Looks like he found himself a new quarterback with North Carolina. Looks like Bill Belichick is also embracing something that most people would not. A gold digger? I will explain. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Carrington Harrison for joining us here on the Infinity Sports Network to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Catch him throughout the week on The Drive in Kansas City. You can catch him Saturday mornings here on the Infinity Sports Network. If you just missed our conversation, I encourage you to go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. At the top of the hour, in about 15 minutes, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. I'm going to share my list of the top six athletes in sports media today. These individuals are engaging. They're enlightening. They're hilarious. I think they're some of the best personalities. I'm going to share my top six list at the top of the hour. Now, before we do that, I need you to think. Use your brain. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, speaking of sports media, we talked about Tom Brady. He will not have access to, you know, chat with the opposition prior to his broadcasting jobs on Sunday with Fox. Told you that Cam Newton has a new job with ESPN, a multi-year contract. You can expect to see more of Cam Newton on First Take. I think he's going to be filling in the slot that Shannon Sharp had. Okay, there we have it. And then I want to tell you right now about a guy who just exited the media, is still out here trying to make money with his girlfriend. And apparently they are not shy in utilizing the word gold digger. I'm talking about Bill Belichick. Oh, you know his girlfriend is running all of his affairs. Bill Belichick, must I remind you, is 73 years old. He's the new head coach of North Carolina football. His girlfriend is 24 years old. You heard me? It's almost 50 years, okay? 73 and 24. If you're asking me, that's, for lack of a better term, that's kind of yucky. But good for Bill Belichick. She's a beauty queen. I guess they can do yoga on the beach. Good for him. A lot of people would have called her a gold digger. It was Bill Belichick because of his money. That's probably part of the reason. It has to be, right? Women are looking for financial security. But anyway, right ahead of his game, North Carolina, his debut against TCU on Monday night. Apparently, his girlfriend and him have filed a new trademark for the term gold digger. They filed a trademark application 2 days ago, as Monday, and they noted that this phrase, gold digger, would be used on jewelry or keychains. Now, what is she going to wear, a gold digger chain? Is she going to wear the gold digger chain and then sell the gold digger chains after so people be gold diggers like her? I guess that's a genius idea. And I guess Bill Belichick is going along with this. He's like, man, I'm going to coach football. Who would have? I just hope whatever his legacy ends up being, I think we'll have a better idea in about 3 or 4 years. Is he still coaching? Is he retired? Is he gone? Is he broken up with this woman? I just hope that when it's all said and done, people don't look at Bill Belichick and go, man, that dude had a hell of a career. And then remember with that girl that he was with? I hope that's not the case. Botcher, would you buy a chain that says gold digger?
Not personally. If it was autographed by Bill Belichick and Jordan, I would buy it.
Would you wear a chain that says gold digger?
Oh, 100% no. But oh, okay. As a collectible, if they somehow released a limited edition gold digger autographed Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson chain or keychain, I'd buy that.
Okay.
That'd be interesting.
Or you can just buy gold digger chains and gift them to people.
Eh.
No.
Nah.
You don't know anybody deserving of that chain?
No. Not off the top of my head.
That's good. I could think of a few gold diggers. But anyway, good on them on monetizing. And Bill Belichick said, yeah, sure, whatever you want to do. Maybe that's where he's at this stage. He's like, listen, I got to coach this football team. And then on the football side of things, Bill Belichick for a North Carolina team, I don't know, are they winning more than 6 games, 7 games max? He named a starting quarterback, Gio Lopez, who last year played at South Alabama, helped take them to a 6-5 record. Bill Belichick found his QB for not just Monday against TCU, but hopefully for the entire year. Listen to Bill Belichick. Does he sound miserable? Does he sound happy? Does he sound like this?
Yeah, Gio's made a ton of progress. You know, we evaluated things through, through training camp. And, you know, as now we get ready for TCU, he'll be our starting quarterback. So we'll give him the majority of the reps in practice and make sure that we get him, you know, as much preparation as possible. But everybody needs to be ready to go. But, you know, I feel very comfortable with him and what he's doing. But he'll get better as we go forward because we have a lot of practices in front of us, a lot of games in front of us, and we'll all learn a lot from those. So, I think he's ready, but I think he'll be, like everybody, more ready as we go forward.
Oh, he sounds like a reasonable human being. Oh, that's sweet. I wonder how many more games before he becomes a jerk. Probably after they lose on Monday. Possibly. Quite possible. Somebody should have asked him about the gold digger stuff. I mean, I know his reaction would have been pretty flat. Hey, Bill, so your girlfriend filed a trademark for the term gold digger. Well, is this something that you guys are trying to sell? And he just I'm here to talk about the football. I'm here to talk about the football. Botcha, I'm not giving him more than 3 years at North Carolina. 3 years max. What do you say?
I'd say 2 max. I think if he can get out after 1, he's going to do it. Because even in the press conference today, they didn't ask about the chains, but someone asked about like an NIL question and meeting with like school presidents, and he was stunned. Like, he didn't have a word to say. He was like, oh, I thought this was a football press conference. And then he answered it either way.
Yeah, Bill Belichick was sitting around doing 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different football shows last year. Missed a podcast here, podcast there. He was out there to keep his name afloat in hopes that he'd get a job, and he got a job. It may not be the job that he wants, but he got a job now. And Bill Belichick said, screw y'all, I ain't doing no more talk. If I'm going to talk, I'm going to get paid just to talk. Same old Bill Belichick. Embracing the term gold digger. Him and his girlfriend, good for them. Need more people embracing being gold diggers. Be honest about yourself. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are going to take a break. When we come back, you know, speaking of people that speak and talk in the media, I'm going to give you my top six list of athletes. These are some of the best athletes, I believe, that exist in sports media today. A new top six list like I do every Wednesday. It'll be here in a few minutes. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.